covers all topics.
It is sufficient in all areas of life, and it's authoritative in all areas of life. Lord, help us to look at that as our authority, not men's traditions, not what we've grown up doing, but look to your word as our authority. And Lord, may we be obedient to it in all areas of life, especially here today as we look at music. And may you open our ears that we may hear and understand. Help me to teach effectively that we may learn and grow today from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, ladies, I know you're all good housekeepers, right? But is there a time that maybe if you're having somebody over to eat or somebody over to stay, that you do a little extra cleaning sometimes? Is that just the women I've been around? Or sorry. Or is that common? That you're going to have people over, you kind of clean up a little bit. Okay. I've only lived with two ladies, my mom and my wife. So, and they both did it. So, but you clean up a little bit before people come over. Okay. Now, do you clean up the same? Clean up your house. Do you clean it up the same for your, if your mother's coming or your mother-in-law? Does that make a difference? Sometimes your mom you're comfortable with, your mother, I don't know. Okay, do you clean up the same if your children are just coming home? Or maybe a pastor's coming over to spend the night or for a dinner? Is it the same? Now, would you clean up your house the same for somebody you knew was you know, the same economic level as you? Or what if somebody was super rich? Would you clean up a little bit more and make things look a little nicer? Do you cook the same for your husband as you would for, like, the President of the United States or some important person? Would you cook with that same fervor? Those are questions to ask. What about men? Okay, I know you do an excellent job when you work, but do you do the same quality of work at all times? Okay, do you show the same concern over quality? Do you talk the exact same with your coworkers and use the same expressions? You talk the same. You clock in the same. You take the same length of break, whether your boss is there watching you or whether he's gone for a week. Is everything the same? When I used to teach down in Kansas, they used to, your first 3 years that you're there, they bring in a principal to observe you teach at least once a semester. And the principal's never in your classroom except that one time. He really doesn't know what goes on. You could be doing whatever you want. The kids will tell on you, but he really doesn't know what goes on except for that one time he comes. And so, I know when I taught, he doesn't tell you, it's an unannounced visit. He comes in, and you're in the middle of a lesson, there comes the principal. And, I mean, this is the guy that he's going to give you a review at the end of the year, so I know myself, I stepped it up a notch, you know? I would like to think I taught my best all the time, but I obviously didn't, because when he would come in, I would explain a little better. You know, I'd use a little bit better illustration. I was just a better teacher when he was there than when he wasn't. Now, what is that if we act differently in front of some people than others? That's a hypocrite. I mean, that's wrong. And I often wonder now if the kids saw that, but when I was a kid in high school and principal coming, I always thought he was observing some troublemaker kid. So I never knew he was watching the teacher, so maybe that's what they thought. But I think we all think we do pretty good, but when push comes to shove, we can do better in some circumstances than others. And then when that circumstance is over, we maybe allow ourselves to go back down a notch. I want to talk today about doing things excellently. Doing our best and doing excellent. Psalm 8, verse 9. Turn to Psalm chapter 8, verse 9. Describes our Lord. And there's many verses we could go to. But our Lord is excellent. God is excellent. God doesn't do things halfway. God does things perfectly. Psalm 8, verse 9. Says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God's name is excellent. God is excellent. God doesn't do things halfway. When he made the world, he made everything and saw what was in it. He said it is very good. It's not just suitable. It's not all right. It's very good. And God wants us to be excellent. We're going to look at that today. God wants us to be excellent in all that we do. Specifically, we're going to begin talking about our music in church. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, because we've laid down principles in the Bible about music. Today we'll talk about excellence in music. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. We know last week we looked at purposes of our singing is to teach and edify one another and to glorify and praise God. So when we sing, it's a twofold purpose. We learn from those things. We are edified. We grow. We're encouraged. We're maybe admonished to live better by the singing we do, but it also glorifies God. And it talks about how excellent is His name. It talks about all the things He's done. So when we sing, we're praising Him. We're exalting Him. We're glorifying Him. Verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer, we're talking about Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so we're to come, this verse says, we come and give thanks to God and praise His name for 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. Is that what it says? Just in a little time called praise and worship. That's when we praise Him. No, it says continually. So we get a little backwards. We think we're going to go to a worship service, and that's when we worship. That's when we'll praise. But it should be continually from our lips giving praise. But here it says we're to offer the sacrifice of praise. Okay, so the praise that we give, we no longer sacrifice. We don't give, you know, the firstlings of our flock and sacrifice them. We don't take the first fruits of our wheat and burn them and do different things. We don't sacrifice, but now we give. And Hebrews is saying how this new covenant is different than the old covenant. And it's better than the old covenant. But now we give a sacrifice of praise. That's our lips continually giving praise to God. So our praise takes the place of it is a sacrifice to God. That's what I want to look at there. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews 11. Maybe two or three pages back. Hebrews 11. So our singing, which is one way we definitely praise God, is through music, through our singing. That's a sacrifice of praise. We're to do it continually, but we for sure do it when we're in church. We don't withhold praising Him because we come to church, but we continue doing it. Okay? So we give a sacrifice of praise when we're together. Now look at Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So Abel gave a better sacrifice. This is a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. If we go back and look in Genesis chapter 4, we see that Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. He brought the best and the first. He gave the best, an excellent sacrifice. His best and his first he gave to sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, scriptures tell us he didn't give an excellent sacrifice. He gave out of the fruits of his field, and he just put it up there and kind of, he expected God to take it, and he was more about what he wanted to do than what God wanted. Abel, though, by faith in God, gave a more excellent sacrifice. So, we are to offer God, if the sacrifice of praise from our lips is a sacrifice, we should be like Abel and give an excellent sacrifice from our lips, a sacrifice of praise. Now, is God worried about the quality of our music? We talk about Abel. Was He worried about Abel's quality of his sacrifice? Did God care? Yeah, He cared. I believe God's always the same. He cares about the quality. Now, Abel had his flock of sheep, let's say what it was. Could there have been some better sheep, you know, over in Timbuktu? Yeah, there might have been a better one and a nicer one, but out of his flock, he gave the best and the first. That's what God was worried about. He wasn't worried about if he could, the best one in the world, but out of what Abel had, he gave his best. He gave a most, God can look on the heart, God can see what we have to offer, and we can give our best. So we obviously could go out and try to pay millions of dollars to get the best singing group in here or something like that. God's not asking for that. God's asking with what we have to give the best, to give a sacrifice of praise, the most excellent that we could do, the most excellent that Abel could do, God was pleased with. We read that in 11. It says that he obtained witness that he was righteous. God said, you are righteous for doing that at that time, for giving that sacrifice. So God does care about our sacrifice of praise. We should care about giving Him the best song. You know, those songs that fit the best with the message. Those songs that fit the best with the circumstances that we're in. Those songs that have the best message. That are correct. We should be concerned about that. Those songs that have the best words, that glorify God, that edify one another. We can't just come up and throw out any song and say, well, God will accept it. You know, as long as, you know, just singing. And that's kind of the attitude Cain had, is, well, I'll throw this wheat up here, whatever. God didn't accept it. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. So when we look at our sacrifice of praise, we ought to give it excellent sacrifice, the best instruments. We use the instruments we have, the gifts we have in this church, the best tempo that we can when we're doing all these things. We want to do the best. Now, that doesn't mean that there might be one song that we think is the very best. We don't just sing that over and over, because we also need the best variety in order to edify one another. We can't sing the same thing every day. So we got to take all these things into consideration. And really, it's our elders that take all those things into consideration, because most of us out here, we're not in charge of doing that. It comes down to the elders in the church are in charge. They're given the responsibility of seeing that we are doing the best we can in all areas of ministry, including music. Now, would you say that everybody here can sing equally well? No. Can everybody play the piano equally well? No, and I think that, let's say Shelley and I, we both sit down, we both practice the same amount each day, she's going to do a lot better than I am, right? There's certain things that God gifts people. We could try and try and try. There's going to be some people that can play a piano better than other people. There's going to be some people that, Earl might, you might have a good voice, Earl, I don't know, but you might sing and sing and sing and never have the voice that Eileen has. I don't know. I haven't listened to you. Now, don't get upset. But there's some people that could practice forever and not have a voice that somebody that's never practiced has. What about teaching in church? Teaching in Sunday school. Are there some people that they, no matter how much, they might not just have that gift of teaching? God gives the church teachers. There's some people that are gifted in teaching. Some people are gifted in preaching, and we need to find one. See? But some people are gifted in preaching and some people are not. No matter how much practice, and you could go to a school and you could learn all these ways to put a sermon together and these illustrations and all these things to do, they just might not have a gift of preaching. Same thing with art, or interior design. Or there's people that have gifts in areas. What about cutting down trees? That's a Bible thing we're going to talk about, but some people can hew down trees. I think that, we take Don Brunzel, we take Miss June. I don't think that if Miss June said, I'm going to just get as strong as Don, I'm going to be able to cut down trees and do all this work, no matter what, Miss June, you're probably not going to get there. Right? So you guys are gifted differently. Right? But Don's not going to be able, no matter how much, he's not going to be able to sing like June. God, and we can see these things and it makes sense to us. So we're not all equal in our gifts. The Bible compares it to our body, right? That the hand's not the same as the foot, which is not the same as the eye. But the hand can't say to the foot, because you're not a hand, you're of no good. Because our hand's very good to walk on? No. Our feet very good to grab things with? No. And if our whole body were an eye, what would we, it'd be worthless. So we need everything. Part of the world we live in is to say that everybody's equal in everything, which that's not biblical. People are given gifts. And I think we can all agree that no matter how much somebody even works at something, people are given different gifts in different areas. And some people are gifted more than others in those areas. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 2. Let's go back in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 2. So we know the Bible makes the case that there are different people with different gifts, hands and feet, but we're all one body. So taking that principle, apply it to music as well. We want to do excellent in music. Now, if we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 2, Solomon is starting to get the temple built. His dad wasn't allowed to build it, even though it was his dad had the vision for it. But Solomon's going to build this thing. And so he sends to the king of Tyre, Huram, the king of Tyre, in verse 3. And he says in verse 7, send me now, therefore, a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and purple and crimson and blue. He wants him to send him a man that's actually skillful in that. He's cunning. He can do the work. Not just send me anybody and I'll try to teach him. He wanted somebody that had that ability already and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, who David my father did provide. So David already provided some men that could engrave and could to do art and could fashion metal and can do those things. He said, send me some more skilled labor. And so they're going to work, and that's what we're going to put into this temple. Because God's temple, it's a, we are the temple now, and we'll talk about I mean, we should strive for excellence, but Solomon was striving for excellence in the temple of God. And so he wanted the best workers. Those that are cunning, those that are skillful. Go back to 1 Chronicles 15. Back to the left a little bit. 1 Chronicles 15. So God, Solomon, he wanted skillful and cunning people to work on the temple. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 22. Okay, if we begin with verse 19, we see that there were singers. There were people that were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. In verse 20, there were people that were appointed to be on the psalteries. Verse 21, people on the harps. And then verse 22 says, this man, and Chenaniah, the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. And so they had all these music instrument players and these singers, but then they had one man, this man named Chenaniah. He was a chief of the Levites. He was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. They didn't just choose any old man. They didn't choose just Don Brunzel to teach music. Right? Wanted somebody skillful in music. And so they chose him, and he led. He instructed about the song. There's some of us in this body that have a gift for music, and they should instruct some of the rest of us about song. And they should lead in the area of music. They should do these things. It's the elder's job to see that those people are put in those proper positions. But here in the temple of God, it was done that way. Those that were skillful led. Those that knew these things instructed. 1 Chronicles 28. Same book, verse 28. How'd that make everybody else feel if they said, this guy's going to lead because he's skillful in this? But that's God gifts people differently, right? And if it's our pride that can get in the way of saying, well, I'm just as good as they are, so-and-so. But, I mean, we want to be used the way God wants us to be used. We want to force ourselves into these positions and force ourselves into things. And it's the elder's job just to see those things. All right, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 21. Well, let's go to verse 20. David said to Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So David's getting ready to die. He said, Solomon, stay strong and finish this house of the Lord. Verse 21, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. So there was going to be men, and here it says they were willing and skillful men for any manner of service. They were skillful in a manner of workmanship. There are people, I don't know how they can do it, they can carve bears out of wood with chainsaws. That's skillful, that's cunning, they can do that stuff. Right? So if you wanted to have somebody skillful in those areas, there's people that can do great woodwork. And there's people that can try and they just can't have, their cabinetry is not the same as somebody, they just have those things given to them. And here, he says, be strong, you will have people, willing, skillful men that will help you in completing this temple. Hey, God has given us so many different types of people with so many different gifts. He doesn't make one person better than another, but He makes us different with different gifts. In music, there are people that are skillful in music, and we're not all gifted equally. So we want to look for people, and we're looking for a principle we can see in music for willing and skillful people to serve in music. So we want to offer our best sacrifice of praise to God. So we want to find those in our church and in every local church. We're not looking in other flocks trying to find the absolute best talent we can find, like a talent search, but we're trying to, in our church, offer our best in music. Find people that are skillful in music, that understand music, and that are willing to put in time and to think about these things, put in the effort and the concern to do their best to make music an excellent part of our worship service. That are willing and able and skillful to and find music that admonishes and teaches. And those are the job of the elders, to put people in position, to ask people and to serve in those positions. So principle number 9, and we've got the 8 principles so far. We won't go over this time, but we can get those later. Okay, but this 9th principle we can see in the Bible as far as music is that we should encourage those that are skillful in music and willing to serve in the ministry of music to strive for excellence in music. So if they are skillful, they're willing, we should encourage them to strive for excellence and not just be happy saying, here it is, Lord. Because all music, just like all our praise, is a sacrifice of praise to God. We want to give our best in music. And so that's kind of the area of music I wanted to talk about. Lay down that principle. Because if we get all these principles, we can make a pretty good music policy, a pretty good vision of what music we should have in this church. And here we're saying it should be excellent, the best we can do with people that are willing, with people that are skillful in this area. And it's not an area that, as Christians, we can be prideful and say, well, I'm just as good as so-and-so, and I should be singing a special music number. I should, but be willing to serve. So we talked about music, okay? We want to do excellent. That's fine for music, but what about our daily lives? You know? I mean, many of us are doing pretty good this morning. We're here. We're going to be congenial. We're going to be nice to each other. We're going to, you know, say the right things, but then we're leaving. Is it just good enough to be good on Sunday mornings? To be excellent on Sunday mornings? Because a lot of us, we treat our lives maybe better in church than we do when we get in the car. We sound like, I mean, everything's going good. We sound the way we're supposed to sound. We know what we're supposed to do because we do it here, but then we let everything go. You know, we're excellent here and then we let it go back down. As a husband, I know many times I think I'm never excellent, but I try to do good and then I find myself, you know, being back to bad husband. Then you try to be good. But we need to be there all the time, should we not? Our Lord is excellent. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice to Cain. He put effort into it. He cared what God thought about it, and he gave his best to God. So in all areas of life, not just music now, we're going to all areas of life, we should care what God thinks. We know he sees us, and we should give him our best in all areas of life. Go to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, a great verse to memorize if you haven't had it memorized already. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Remember, we're talking about having a sacrifice of praise, an excellent sacrifice. And here we see there was actual physical sacrifices done in the Old Testament. There was an actual physical temple that was built in the Old Testament. But now we are the temple, and our lives are the sacrifice. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to beseech you is to say, I plead with you. I'm just reasoning with you. I'm trying to get you to do this, trying to admonish you. I'm calling you. I'm asking you, brethren, brothers in Christ, by the mercies of God. Think about the mercy that God has shown us. When we didn't deserve it. But we were given grace. We were given mercy by God through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. By the mercies of God, I'm beseeching you, I'm pleading with you that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. No longer do we go take the best of our flock and burn it and say, there, like Abel did. Although God looked on the heart as well with Abel. That's how God could see. But we are not giving any of that kind of sacrifice. But we're giving the sacrifice of praise with our lips. And here it says that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We should sacrifice in our lives to live for God. Be holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's very reasonable after what Christ has done for us. It's very reasonable that He saved us from eternal torment in hell. He gave us an eternity with Him in heaven. He's given us a new birth, a new life. In Him. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as the earnest of our redemption. It's very reasonable that we then should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's easier probably to just do a sacrifice once a year and to be good once a Sunday or something like that. But we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Our whole life is to be a sacrifice to God. Does God care about our sacrifice? Should it be excellent? Yes. We can't just say, I'm offering my body as a sacrifice, Lord, and I'm going to do whatever I want. That's not a sacrifice. A sacrifice, by definition, has to be something that is not what you would do, but putting somebody else in front of you. Something else in front of your desires or your what you want to. And here, we're putting God in front of us. You know, some guys, they love watching the football games or something. If there was a football game on the Nebraska Huskers or something, and then there was your granddaughter's piano recital at the same time. Right? That would be a sacrifice to go to the piano recital. Oh. Well, in most people's mind. Okay? But that's a sacrifice. Right? But now what if, you know, you were going to be stuck somewhere, you know, at a ballet something or other, and somebody said, come over to my place and watch a Husker game. That wouldn't be a sacrifice. Yeah, I'll sacrifice and come over. That'd be, everybody wants to do that. Right? So you're going over. I'm being pretty general here. That's on purpose. But, no, but that wouldn't be a sacrifice. If it's something you want to do anyway, that's not a, you can't say I'm sacrificing going to the ballet because I want to watch, I'm going to the Huskers. No, that's what you want to do. So a sacrifice has to be putting somebody else in front of your desire. And here, it's our flesh. We have things that we want to do. There's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's things that we want to do. Our heart tells us this, but God tells us this. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Our conscience tells us, and we sacrifice these things, and we live holy unto God. That's what it says in this verse. Holy, acceptable unto God. To be holy is to be set apart. To be set apart from sin. To be separated from sin, separated unto God. We know what holy means. We know, you know, the people say, well, I don't want to be holier than thou, or people, you know, people call it holier than thou, but holy is to do what God wants us to do. And we all have that as Christians. We definitely have the Holy Spirit convicting us and reproving us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Shows us what sin is. Shows us what's right. We know these things. And we know the holy choice to make in almost all circumstances. We go to Walmart and the cashier hands us back, you know, a 20 instead of a 10. And we see, man, she made an error and it's in my favor. I mean, we know what the holy thing to do is. Okay, we could try to justify, well, if I wouldn't have looked, then I wouldn't have seen. And Walmart's a big company, so they can withstand $10. I really, maybe this is God helping. We know that's not, right? We know the holy thing to do, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict us of that. And so we know what the holy thing to do. We know what our flesh wants to do, you know, free $10. But we should do the holy thing, the thing that's acceptable unto God. When we're driving down the road and it's a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit, we are 60 or 70. We know what the holy thing, the thing that's acceptable unto God, to submit ourselves to those authorities, we know what we're to do. A friend starts to gossip to you about another person, tell you some latest news about this gossip. Your flesh wants to hear it. Your flesh wants to just hear what's going on and maybe hear that somebody else is faltering and doing bad because in our flesh it makes us feel better, something like that. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says an angry countenance drives away gossip. I mean, we should actually show them that we're upset that they're gossiping and show some conviction towards them. And we should walk away where we're not going to hear gossip anymore. Because I'm not going to gossip to Sharon. She doesn't like that and makes me feel guilty about it. Not, it's going to be at cost to us, but we know what the holy thing to do is. Okay, we know what the holy thing to do is if you're watching a movie or watching a TV show and there's somebody up there and you begin to lust after this person on the screen, we know what the holy thing to do is. Make a covenant with our eyes. Don't think upon a maid. Set no wicked thing before our eyes. We know what the holy thing to do is. So it's not a question of, well, we don't really know. We know in most everything what the holy thing to do is. And God tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. In the day-to-day things that we do, the decisions that we make, we are going to sacrifice what our flesh wants to do for what God wants to do. And if it's not a sacrifice, if it's just, you know, if it's what we would do anyway. A living sacrifice. We want to live our lives then excellently. We want to be an excellent sacrifice as Abel's sacrifice was excellent. And God respected that offering. We want our lives as an offering to be excellent. We don't want to just offer, you know, halfway and just be excellent sometimes and not others. We want to live excellent for God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, another good verse. 1 Corinthians 10. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That covers everything. What we're eating, what we're drinking, or whatsoever you do. Whatever we're doing, We're doing it to the glory of God. God's not glorified by doing things halfway. God's glorified by doing things excellently, by offering excellent sacrifices, a living sacrifice of our body. So we, in all areas of our life, we should live excellently for Him. In church music, we should strive for excellence. But in our lives, we should strive for excellence, to do our best. We should live our best life now. We should live the best that we can for God. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, offering our best to God. So are you living your life? And our lives are a living sacrifice to God. Are you living your life like Cain, who he brought his offering, and just like, here you go, Lord, you know, thank you for saving me. I'm a Christian. I try to do some things, but I'm just tired. I'm just going to do this. There you go. If our lives are a sacrifice, a lot of times I say we're like Cain. Just kind of bringing an offering and saying, well, I've done good before. I'll do good again, but right now, you're getting this, God. This is what I'm going to do for you. We want to present God with our best. We talked about working, you know, when your boss is around. When your boss is around, you work quite a bit better. But God is around how often? All the time. He's everywhere. He sees everything. We're going to give account for everything. You know, the Bible says, you know, whether I go under the ground, whether I go here or there, you're there, Lord. He's everywhere. And so we somehow fall into this where if our boss is there, we all of a sudden pick it up. But God is there all the time, and we forget that. God is always seeing everything. We should give our best all the time. You know, money will a lot of times make people work more excellently, work better. If we were going to pay somebody, you know, put yourself in this position, $5 an hour to go through and clean the church. $5 an hour, people, you know, if they had a Christian work ethic and they tried to work for the glory of God, they'd do their best. But most people that are getting paid $5 an hour, they're going to see maybe something over there, and it's like, oh, no one will see that. Just kind of, I'll worry about some of this other stuff for $5 an hour. You might, you know, if you've got a cell phone, you might text or call a little bit. Even though it's on time you're getting paid for, you might do those things. But you're just getting paid $5 an hour. What can they expect? If you're getting paid $30 an hour, now you're going to start to care about things, aren't you? $30 an hour is a pretty good wage. You're thinking, I'm going to really take some time, and I'm not going to take a long break if they're paying me for the break. When I'm working, I'm going to be working. Now, what if they're paying you $200 an hour? You think, man, $200 an hour, I am going to do everything. I'm going to put in a full 8 hours. And that 8 hours that I'm working, I am going to be working hard. I'm going to go home exhausted, but they're paying me $1,600 for this day. That's as much as, you know, I'm making a month or half a month, whatever. I'm going to work, and I'm going to do an excellent, excellent job. I'm not going to waste any time because they're paying me so much. So, I mean, no doubt that that affects us because we are human. That affects us. Now, then, what is God? What is He? If our employers give us 200, we're giving them great effort. What does God give to us? Eternal life. He forgives us of what we are righteously should be damned by, all our sins. God is righteous to send us to hell to suffer for eternity in a lake of fire. For eternity, forever. That's forever and ever. God, by His grace, by His mercy, by no effort of our own, by nothing that we did, by simply believing, trusting, repenting, and turning to Jesus Christ, He has given us eternal life to live forever with Him in perfection. And forgiving us all this, is that worth $200 an hour? Would you rather work for $200 an hour of your life and spend eternity in hell or not get... What's worth more? We're talking eternity in heaven. So it's worth infinitely more than $200 an hour. Think how hard we would work for $200 an hour. Think how much God has given us and think how little we give Him in return. We give our employer that's paying us $15 an hour a lot more than we give God. Are we living excellently for God? We should give excellence in music. We should give excellence in preaching. We should give excellence in anything that we do for God in the church. We should give excellence in everything, in whatsoever ye do. Let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I want this to be an encouragement for us, an exhortation, an admonishment that we should give God our best. Not give Him the leftovers, not be like a Cain and just give Him whatever we want, And kind of say, God, you'll be happy with that. But that we give him our best. His name is excellent. We should give him our best. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, do it in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever ye do. Verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So this covers everything. And whatsoever we do, we should do it with our heart. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We should work harder for the Lord than we are to men. We know that the Lord is there all the time. Men can't see everything. God can see our hearts. Men can't see our hearts. So this should mean do it all. Do it all out. Give our best to God. We should live a holy life. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Are you doing your best to live a holy life? Are you getting away from sin? Are you fleeing from temptation? Are you setting yourself up to where you can live holy? Or are you allowing yourself to be in situations and things where you're basically saying, I don't care if I sin, Lord. I'm going to do what I want to do. We should draw near to God. The Bible says, you know, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Are we doing our best to draw near to God? Or are we just like happy with where we're at? We're told to pray without ceasing. Are we doing our best in prayer? Are we doing our best in our prayer life? In study, we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Bible, the Word of truth. Are we doing our best in study, or will we do better for an online Bible, an online professor from New York or in some college class? Do we study more for him, or do we study more in the Bible for God? Are we loving others the way we should? Are we doing our best to love others and giving all of ourselves to that? The Bible says if you see a brother has need and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in you? Are you doing your best to love others? So we should live our best life for God. We should be excellent in our life, not settle for just giving him this and giving him that and doing a little bit here and a little bit there and raising our standard on Sunday morning and then going back down here. Live our life for God. My wife asked me when I was telling her about this, how excellent. You know, the sink, she can clean a sink for 5 minutes and get it pretty nice, but if she spent an hour on that sink, she could make it great. If whatsoever we do it heartily as to the Lord. How much do we do? I mean, you could just run yourself ragged. And so I think that's a smokescreen she's putting out there, right? Because you just try to argue and say, well, that's absurd. Then you'd have to spend, 20 hours on the bathroom. But I think in this verse, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. I mean, that's the way God gives us wisdom. God gives us the Holy Spirit. I mean, if we're working for the Lord, I think God gives us the wisdom to know that if Jesus Christ was here, he wouldn't want me scrubbing a sink for an hour. Get it good, but there's more important things to do. God will show us, he'll lead us and guide us to those important things. So I think that's a smokescreen question. That we're going to take, the lawn needs mowed, but we don't need to have the best lawn in the Tri-County area and spend all our time and all our money. Yeah, unless God's convicting you in that way, something fierce, I guess. Okay, the dishes need to be clean, but they don't need to be the most spotless. If you're working unto the Lord, remember Martha and Mary. Jesus Christ was there. Martha was working, but she didn't choose the more excellent way, right? We need to think in all that we do, if I'm working heartily as to the Lord, what would the Lord have me do? Yes, this needs to be done. I need to change the oil in my van. I need to do these things, but I'm not going to sit and spend all my life and all my time doing these things. So that's where, praise the Lord, we're given the Holy Spirit. Because we're in a myriad of all kinds of situations in our life, but God gives us wisdom. And the fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. And the reading in God's Word gives us that wisdom. And I really think that our problem, in general, is not going overboard for the Lord. There's not anybody scrubbing their sink for 2 hours saying, yeah, this is too much. It's that we're not even going at all for God. We're giving God just kind of the leftovers. It's not doing excellent enough for God. So that's my encouragement to us. It's my encouragement to myself. It's to do excellent for God. It's our reasonable service. Don't settle for just giving God the leftovers and just whatever. Think about Cain's sacrifice. Think about Abel's. And our lives are a living sacrifice. The Lord is watching. The Lord sees. Let's do excellent for Him. If you could bow your heads with me. Let's close our eyes. I want us to spend some time just individually with God.
Think on some areas in your lives that you are not living excellently. Okay, maybe it's your, as a husband or a wife, you're not being an excellent husband or excellent wife, and you know it. Maybe it's time management, you're wasting time, you're not redeeming the time. Maybe it's your finances, your money, you're not spending money the way you know God would have you spend money, you're wasting it, you're not being a good steward. Maybe you're involved in some sin that you know of, maybe nobody else knows, but you know of, and God knows of it. And you know that's not living holy and acceptable unto God. At work, are you a good testimony for Him? And there are, what area of your life is God right now, is His Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, convicting you on that you need to live excellently? You need to offer yourself and sacrifice what your flesh, what your desires are, and do what God wants. It's a living sacrifice. It's a reasonable service for what He's done for us. I encourage you to make some decisions today, to talk to God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit that's convicting you and just grieve Him by just continuing in sin. But make changes in your life. Let's spend some time quietly with silent prayer unto God, and then I'll close here in a few moments. Lord, I ask forgiveness for where I failed, where I have not lived excellent, where I've just been like Cain and just offered up what I wanted. And Lord, I ask that You give me the strength to live my life as a living sacrifice, to live excellent for You. Lord, I ask for all of us that we can do that. And that in whatsoever we can do it heartily as unto You and not unto men. And that we can make our life and our faith coincide and not live, you know, opposite from what we know we want to do. Lord, help us to do that, to glorify You in what we do, to bring glory to Your name in the world by the actions that we do, and to draw us closer to You. Lord, help us to draw closer in prayer and study and praising You continually with our lips. Lord, I ask that You watch over our church as we continue to look into this music and what we should do to sing to You, to praise You and glorify You and edify one another, would help us to do excellent in that area. And I just ask Your blessing on all those that leave. Keep us safe as we go home. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.